Scripture song, Psalm 9. That's a wonderful song, and I think we could just take some time tonight to have testimonies, and we could just talk about the Lord's wondrous works. How many of you guys done a work in your heart this week or in your life this week? And the Lord's been so good to all of us. Let's be finding for our Bible study tonight, Ephesians chapter 5. And you may be seated there, and we'll get into the Bible study, Ephesians chapter 5. And just as a way of reminder, we're glad to have visitors here tonight with us. I see several families visiting with us, and we're so thankful that you're here. If you would be kind enough to take one of our connection cards, it's always something where, you know, we want to make a connection in this world. It's kind of hard to connect. People don't like to connect with each other except through social media. And we want to be a church that can be a part of your spiritual walk and your growth, and we want to help you to know the Lord. And we don't want anything from you. You just want to be a blessing. Want to be a part of what God's doing in your life. If you take a connection card, fill that out, and you can give that to one of the ushers or the greeters on the way out. And we have a book that we can give you today, and it'll be a tremendous help for your Christian walk. I'm thankful today that I get to be a preacher of God's Word. The Bible tells the pastor he's to be in the ministry of the Word. And when God calls a man to the ministry of the Word, He gives him opportunity to preach the Word. I've preached the Word of God today. This will be the fourth time today. And I'll preach two times tomorrow and three times Friday and one time Saturday. We'll be back here together on Sunday and preach. And it's just a joy to be in God's Word. And I want to say to the believers, I want to say to every one of us tonight, let's never tire of the Word of God. This book is the lifeline. I want to tell you something tonight. If there's a lot of people saying, Lord, speak to me, and their Bible's closed. And the Lord said, I did speak to you, gave you everything. This Bible is so relevant to today. I got up this morning, and in my own personal time with the Lord today, let me tell you what the Lord did. He just opened up His Word, and it was almost as though God were just talking about my exact circumstance, what I was dealing with, what I was dealing with in my heart. And He wrote it thousands of years ago in this book. But this book is alive, and it'll talk to you every single day. In fact, the Bible's the only book I know that'll talk to you even when it's closed. You walk by it and it says, read me. Anybody have a Bible that talks to you when it's closed? Yeah, it says, read me. And the Bible is living. It's alive. I was standing in the UPS store the other day, and the lady behind the counter and the man were talking. The man in front of me, they were talking. And one of the men, he asked the lady, he said, do you all have Apple Pay here? And she said, no, we're not that advanced. And Apple Pay is where if you have your phone, you can just put your phone in front of the thing and it just scans it and on you go. No money, no cash. There's money involved, but no cash or anything. It just beeps right there in the machine. And he was a little frustrated that they didn't have it. And he said, I thought the UPS store would be more advanced. And, I remember the days when you had to dig for quarters and get your cash out and count it all out. And you didn't have enough. You had to run to the car and look underneath the seat for a quarter or something. Anybody remember those days? Now you can. And I saw on the internet not long ago that this fellow, he wanted to go around. He wanted to go for 1 month and not use any cash anywhere or a credit card anywhere. And so he used his phone everywhere he went. He just went to places that you could just use your phone. And the electronic payment set up through that to just use that. And he came across, in his 1 month journey, he came across some people in Sweden that said, look, we can put the RFID chip from your phone in your hand. And we're working on biotechnology. And he did it. You can go look at it on YouTube. He did it. He put the RFID chip from his phone into his hand. And the next day he walked up to the counter in this coffee shop and he ordered a coffee. He ordered a donut, and the lady told him how much it was, and he said, okay, I'm ready to pay. And she said, well, do you have your phone to scan? And he said, no, let me just see the scanner. She put the scanner out. He put his hand there. Beep, it rang up. She looked at his hand, and she looked at him, and sure enough, it went through, and they all celebrated. And I thought, This Bible was written before there was ever even a light bulb. No electricity. Thousands of years ago, God said it would come to a place where a man would have a mark in his hand or his forehead, and he would buy and sell. And I thought, yeah, isn't this great? The Bible is more relevant than today's newspaper. And we need to be in it. We need to be in the Word of God, studying and reading and praying. Tonight, we're going to look at our study on the Spirit-filled life. On Wednesday nights through this year, we're going to look at the abundant life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See, there's a difference between somebody who has natural life. Let me tell you what natural life is. Natural life is survival life. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, he tells the believers, don't worry about food and raiment. Don't worry about what you're going to put on or what you're going to eat. He said, your Father which is in heaven has, he knows what you have need of before you ask him. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things will be added unto you. In other words, what he was saying was this, there is a life that you can seek that is higher than survival life. Jesus said to his disciples, these are all the things that the Gentiles or the unsaved, this is what they seek for. They're looking for, where am I going to live? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And the world's looking for just the means to survive. I want shelter, I want clothes, and I want food. God said, listen, Jesus said, he feeds the sparrows. He clothes the flowers. He's going to take care of you. There's a life more than just survival life. And I want to say tonight that that life that Jesus said, I came that you might have life, not just survival life, not just so that we can live and breathe and eat, but he came that we might have life and more abundant. There's a life above that. And that's not just survival life, it's supernatural life. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 that those of us that have been saved, we have been made partakers of the divine nature. We have been made to partake of the life of God. If you're saved, you have the life of God in you. He that hath the Son hath life. Right now you have it. He that hath not the Son hath not life. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That is a supernatural life. You're looking at a man tonight that will never die. Now, you might attend my funeral, but I want you to know I'm not dead. Because I have a life that's beyond the natural life. I have a life that is a supernatural life, and it can't die. It can't die. When you walk by my casket one day, you'll see a body in there. It'll be these same hands, this same nose, this same face. You'll look at it. But I want to tell you something. That's just a shell. The nuts in heaven. Okay? the old shell is here, and the nuts with the Lord. Okay? Thank God for that. There is a new life, an indwelling life. An indwelling life that is supernatural. And so we're going to look at something tonight as we've been dealing with a spirit-filled life. A Christian has the life of God. But wait a minute. Not just the life of God that comes to dwell in you. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. He indwells you, but that doesn't mean that he fills you. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of God for your life, and what is the will of God for my life? What is God's will? And by the way, if you don't understand this will of God, then you're walking unwisely. Here's what the will of God is. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Now, the Bible tells us that a Christian is to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want you to mark that. Keep your finger right there in Ephesians 5 and flip back a couple of pages to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 16. All right, we're in Ephesians 5. We'll be there in a minute. But go back to Galatians 5 and look at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice, Christian, notice. He did not say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you'll be walking in the Spirit. He didn't say that. So many times we Christians want to get lists of things that we can and can't do, and we think if I don't do that and I do this, then I'm a spiritual Christian. No. If I walk in the Spirit, then the Spirit will guide me to where I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I've met a lot of Christians who don't do a lot of things, and they're very proud about that. And they'll look at everybody else and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. I don't do that. And they have no understanding that they are full of pride and arrogancy. And the Bible says, no, it's not about that. It's about walking in the Spirit. Look at chapter 5 of Galatians here. He says, for the flesh, now here you have to remember, you are in this body of flesh. You have a flesh nature, but you also have the nature of God. And he says, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the flesh. Now watch what he says in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The word lusteth there is the word desires. So the flesh desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth or desires against the flesh. So here's what you have. You have you, and you have on one side of you, you have your old nature, and it's pulling you. And on the other side, if you're saved, you have the new nature, the Spirit of God, and he's pulling you. He desires to have you, and the flesh desires to have you. The flesh wants you to look at things, to experience things, to taste things, touch things, have things that God doesn't want you to have. And they want you to have those things outside of the will of God. By the way, let me just tell you something. Anything that we do outside the will of God, even if it's a good thing, becomes a wrong thing. Remember what God said to Adam and Eve? Of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of this tree thou shalt not eat. In the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is mine, God said. This is not in my will for you to have. Now, you know what the devil wanted us to do? He wanted us to live independently of God. So the flesh wants us to go get whatever it wants independently of God. How does a Christian live? A Christian lives by faith. What is faith? Dependence on God. You know what every one of you are having tonight in that chair you're sitting on? You're having faith. You're depending on it. You're sitting on your blessed assurance with assurance that that chair is going to hold you up. You're having dependence on God. Now, you didn't come in here tonight and check the chairs and make sure it was solid. You didn't wonder if somebody was going to pull it out from underneath you. You just plopped down in the chair. You had full assurance in that chair. Now, wait a minute. That's how the Christians to live in the Lord, with full assurance, depending on God, not letting the flesh pull this way and not resisting the Spirit of God. And here's the thing. If we let the Spirit of God pull us this way, we won't fulfill the flesh. But the counter is true to that. If we let the flesh pull us this way, we won't walk in the Spirit of God. And the Christian grieves him, we quench him, and we do despite. The Bible calls it despite or insult to the Spirit. Is everybody with me tonight? So now watch this. Okay, verse number 18, we're still in Galatians 5, verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. What a liberty. What a freedom Christians forfeit when they don't live in the Spirit of God. When you live in the Spirit of God, you don't need a law. Wouldn't you like to say, there are no rules on me? The only thing that I live by is the Spirit of God. Now let's go back to Ephesians 5 with that in mind. Ephesians 5:18. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of God for you, mom. The will of God for you, dad. The will of God for you, pastor. The will of God for you, deacon. The will of God for you, teenager. The will of God for you, children. The will of God for you. It is God's will for you that you not be drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now he's using that as an illustration, as a comparative, and we're going to look at it tonight. Watch this. He's going to show you tonight what the evidences are of a spirit-filled life. Let me give you a couple of words that start with the letter C, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to put this on your heart. Let's learn this tonight. Look at the Bible. The first thing you're going to find is an evidence of the Holy Spirit-filled life. Watch this in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Look at this word, but be filled with the Spirit. The first thing I want you to see, the evidence of a Spirit-filled life is, number one, the word control. Control. You can jot that down, and then I want you to say it with me. Number one, the evidence of the Spirit-filled life is control. It is control. This verse, be filled with the Spirit, is giving us an indication that the Christian life is to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, he is to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, how do we know he's telling us that? Because he is giving us the comparison of being drunk with wine to excess. You know, now most Baptists are afraid of the Spirit of God. We think, man, if we get the Holy Spirit on this, we're going to act crazy. Crazy things are going to happen. You know, we don't want to get things too out of control with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. We need to let the Holy Spirit have his way. And the Holy Spirit will not create in the church a wildfire. He will create a divine fire. Everybody with me on this? He's going to bring a passion and a fire in the believer's life that is going to purify the believer. That's what fire does. It purifies us. It cleanses us. And that fire then begins to be our drive and our passion. It becomes our zeal. And then what it does is it shines so that the lost world can see the light in us. And it's a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit needs to be alive and well and fill the believer's life. And just like a man who is drinking booze, he's under the influence of alcohol, he is fully under the control of the alcohol. That's what he's saying. Don't be drunk with wine where it is excess. How many of you in your life have ever seen somebody just drunk as a skunk? Okay? Now, I want to thank the Lord for this, okay? My dad was a drunkard. His testimony, my dad, when he was 18 years old, my dad's discipling someone tonight. My mom and dad are in discipleship. And my dad was a drunkard. My dad, when he was 18, he drank a six-pack of booze every morning before he'd go off to work. Just to get in touch with the world, you know? Dad was a heavy drinker. My mom found my dad, father of three. My mom was expecting. My mom found my dad outside the old wagon wheel bar, drunk as a skunk, laying in his own vomit. They've told stories now of my dad coming home drunk. My mom loves to rearrange the furniture. They tell stories of my dad coming home drunk. And he came in and went to sit down in his chair to take his boots off, and there was no chair there. And he sat there and laughed and laughed. My mom thought he was going to be mad. And I've heard stories of them. My mom was very, very sick one night. She had the flu. My dad came home very, very drunk. My dad fell in bed, went to sleep. During the night, my mom got very sick. And she, sorry ladies, my mom regurgitated. I don't know what the appropriate word is in church. The Bible says that the whale vomited Jonah. So that's what my mom did. And so we'll use Bible words tonight. My mom's laying there. She's so sick. My dad gets up in the morning and sees that and he thinks he did it. So he cleaned it up. What a good husband. Now, I hear stories like that, and it blows my mind because I've only known my mom and dad as godly Christian parents. Never in my life growing up as a child, outside of maybe some Listerine, was there ever any alcohol in our house. I've never been around it. I want to say tonight, I thank the Lord for this. I've never tasted it, never been drunk. I'm just so thankful for that. Now, that doesn't make me a good person. I'm a sinner, okay? But I've never grown around it. But I tell you this, I have been around people who are just out of their minds. And listen, they can't stand up straight. They can't walk straight. They can't talk straight. Huh? They just can't make a thought. They're just, you know, they don't make good decisions. I remember one time I heard about a police officer that pulled over a car. It was all over the road. He pulled over the car. There's a man and a woman in there, and boy, they're in bad shape. And there's a monkey in there. And the officer said, "What is going on here?" And the man was just, he was just tight-lipped, you know, looking at that officer. And he couldn't believe it. And pretty soon the monkey started making signs to the officer. Officer said, "You can talk to me?" And the monkey said, "Yes." He said, "Was this man, was he doing anything bad?" The monkey said, "Yes." He said, "What was he doing?" And he said, "Drinking." He said, "What was the woman doing?" He said, "She was yelling and beating on him." He said, "Well, what were you doing?" The monkey said, "I was driving." Listen, people, when they're drinking, they make terrible decisions. Terrible. Show up at the wrong house, don't know what they've done, know where they've been. In fact, I want to read something for you. Look over here in the book of Proverbs very quickly. Look back at Proverbs 23. Find this in your Bible. You young people, mark this in your Bible. Proverbs 23, verse 29. "Who hath woe?" The word woe means curse, cursing. "Who hath a curse? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions?" That's fighting and strife. Whose life is full of cursing and sorrow and strife and fighting? "Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause?" You wake up, you're hurt, you don't know what happened to you. "Who has redness of eyes?" "They that tarry long at the wine." "They that go to seek mixed wine." "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it moveth itself, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." Don't you look at that when it's frothing in the cup so it entices you. God said, don't even look at it. Why? Because at the last, and it looks good in the cup, but what happens when it gets in the belly? At the last, it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. I've never heard a man ever tell me, "You know, I'm so thankful I took up drinking." At the last, you know, you see all the beer commercials, man, all these bikini-clad women and these tough men on the beach having a wonderful time. That's not what they look like. They all got pot bellies and they're hanging out in the garage. Let's go to the last. That may be what it looks like in its youth, but let's take it all the way to the end. Let's go to the drunk driving scene. Let's go to the divorce court. Let's go down and visit the foster homes. Let's go down and visit the mental health institutions where children have been abandoned by their parents. At the last, it bites like an adder. It stings like a serpent. Look at verse number 33. "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." Look, it affects the entire being. Verse 34, "Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea." Ooh, ooh. "Yea," he said, "or he that lieth upon the top of a mast." You ever seen that guy? Looks like he's on the top of a mast of the ship, walking to and fro. "They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake?" This is the sad thing. "I will seek it yet again. I have wounds. I don't know where I got them. I've said things. I don't know what I've said. I've looked at things. I don't know what I've looked at. I've done things I don't know that I've done. I've spent money I didn't know I had. I've brought a curse into my family." And he said, "And here I am. My life is just back and forth. I'm so inebriated and all over the place. My life is unstable and unsteady. But when I wake up, I got to have it again." Now, God takes the life of the drunkard and he compares it to the Christian spirit-filled life. You know what the man who's drunk, you know what he is? He's under complete control of the booze. It controls, in that passage of scripture, it controls how he walks, It controls how he talks. It controls what he sees. It controls what he does. It controls who his companions are. It controls everything about him. In fact, it controls his passion. He has to have it. The Japanese have a proverb. First a man takes a drink. Then the drink takes a drink. Then the drink takes the man. He's got to have it. Now listen, this is what the Bible said about the Christian. Hey, Christian, you don't need that spirit. That's what the world calls it, you know, the spirits, you know, these drinks. You don't need that. The world's filled with that. That's how they get rid of their problems. That's how they drown their sorrows, only to wake up to more sorrow. That's how they forget their trouble. It's how they have a good time. The only way that they can unwind is they have to get drunk. God said, you don't need that. You have a better spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Be filled with him. By the way, the same control that alcohol has on the drunkard, the Holy Spirit has that full control on him. And he'll change how you walk. He'll change how you talk. He'll change how you give. He'll change what you see. He'll change everything about you. He'll change you because he's in full control. Hey, listen, Christian, you need and I need the Spirit of God in full control. Don't be drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled to excess with the Spirit of God. The next letter I want to put on your heart tonight is this. Not only is the evidence of a Christian life full control, but the evidence of the Christian life is completeness. Completeness. Let's all say that together. Ready? It is completeness. First of all, it is control. Second of all, it is completeness. Be filled with the Spirit. The word filled means to the top. Do you know what? One of the things that drives me crazy? When I go to a restaurant, I order a cup of coffee and the waitress comes out and she fills up my cup halfway. I'm like, excuse me, can you top that off? I'll tell you something else that drives me crazy. When I drink it down halfway and it's kind of lukewarm and she comes by and fills it up and I didn't see it. And I take in lava. You ever done that? I didn't know that she filled it up and I'm just talking to my wife and I spit it all over. Man, now to be filled means all the way to the top. You know, we don't need a half-hearted Christianity. We don't need to be lukewarm. God said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but don't be lukewarm. You need to be filled, completeness, filled. That means lacking nothing. Something that is filled lacks nothing. Now, let me just say this tonight, and I want you to put this on your heart. Now, watch this. If there is room for anything else in your heart, we're not filled with the Spirit of God. And you say, well, wait a minute. Does that mean that I can't have my family in my heart? Oh, wait a minute. Let me just remind you what the Bible says. Jesus said, if a man loves his father or his mother more than me, he cannot be my disciple. Isn't that what he said? God said this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So wait a minute, why would that man lack the love of the Father? Because Romans 5 tells us that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our heart. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the love of God into you. And if you've got room in your heart for love for something else, you don't love God with all your heart. Now can I tell you what the wonderful thing about that is? Jesus was not teaching that we couldn't love our family. Jesus said, if you love your family more than you love me, you'll never love your family all the way. But if you love me with all of your heart, you'll love your family more than you could on your own. Because you'll love them with a supernatural love. By the way, hey, husbands and wives, you husbands and wives need to make an agreement with each other that you're going to be number two in each other's lives. My wife needs me to love God more than her. Why? Because if I can love the Lord with all my heart, the Lord's going to make me love her like Christ loved the church. If I love her just the way I love her, I'll love her like Dean can love her, and that's an imperfect love. But if I love her like Jesus loved her, I'll love her all the way. You see, what the Lord takes, what we give the Lord from our heart, every bit that we give him back, the Lord comes in and fills that completely. Let me tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about completeness. Have you ever, by the way, the Holy Spirit is not a fluid, okay? So don't get a picture of like water in a glass filled up halfway. He's not a fluid. He's not an it. He's a person. And let me just tell you what I'm talking about. Have you ever had somebody show up at your house unexpected? And they knock on the door and everybody scrambles? Who is it? Don't let them in. And then they need to come in, so they step in, and what are you doing? And but by the way, let's be honest, okay? Have you ever just been running through the house? Shut that door. And you're shutting doors to like closets and bedrooms, right? Huh? You're like throwing stuff that was in the living room, like throwing it in the laundry room and shutting it. And that person that just brought, hey, come on in. Good to see you. When you say come on in, you're saying come on in to right here and nowhere else. You're so welcome in our home, but not in our laundry room. We're glad to have you come on in, but you can't go in the... You can't go in that bathroom. Don't use the bathroom. It's under construction. How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? Yeah. Somebody can come in the house, but they can't go in every room. Let me tell you what, when you're filled with the Spirit, listen. He's not just in your church life. He's not just in the church room of your house. He gets to be in every room. He takes up, you see, the Holy Spirit came to live in you when you got saved. That's the indwelling of the Spirit. He got to come in the house. But it's when you say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm opening the door to the rec room. You can come into my entertainment world. I'm going to take you over here into the kitchen. You can come in here. You can come over here in this closet, every room, every door, every nook, every cranny, you're welcome in. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. He has control of every area of your life. Listen, if you've got a music station that you like to listen to that the Holy Spirit is not involved in, you're not filled with the Spirit, because you've got room in your heart for music and artists that the Holy Spirit hasn't given you. If you've got television shows that the Holy Spirit's not allowed to lead you in, then you're not filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be led by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit means that He has access. He fills completely the whole house, every room, our entertainment life, our personal life, our dietary life. That's why the Bible says you better be careful what you put in your body. The body's the temple of the living God. Holy Spirit dwells in you. You know, sometimes Christians want to point fingers at other people because, man, they smoke a cigarette. That destroys the body while we're chugging down sodas one after the other. I'm just telling you tonight, okay, as Christians, we need to be in prayer about and following the Holy Spirit and let Him have control. I put something out today that I was hoping our church would read, but I just said this. If Jesus is Lord, then let Him lead. Jesus said to the people who came and prayed, oh, dear Lord, He said, why are you calling me Lord when you do not the things that I say? I wish I could tell you how many times I go to the Lord in prayer and I kneel down and I start my prayer. Dear Lord, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, Lord, why aren't you doing this? You call me Lord and Dean, this is what's in your life? Anybody else ever had the Holy Spirit talk to you like that? You know, you're coming saying I'm the master, but I don't think I'm the master. I think you're the master. And sometimes when I start to pray, I hear the Holy Spirit say, you know, it's not, the Bible says we're supposed to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And the Holy Spirit's told me many times, Dean, when you come to pray, it sounds like, hear, Lord, your servant speaks. He said, I'm supposed to be in control, and I'm supposed to fill the entire house. Now, I'm just telling you something, church. Tonight, we need a complete filling. And He needs to be in full control. Now, I'm done, but let me give you this last one. We got many more to go, but we won't go through them tonight. This is the last one. I'm going to just touch on this and we're done. Look at the word consistency. First thing, the evidence of a Christian life is control. second evidence of a Spirit-filled life is what? Completeness. And then the third word, the third evidence of a Spirit-filled life is the word consistency. Notice this. The Bible says in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, in the Greek, and we don't need to be Greek scholars to understand this, but in the Greek, the verb here is an active tense verb, which means then, in the English language, we have verbs that are what we call state of being verbs. It's the state of being. This is an active tense verb, which means this. It is in this state constantly. In other words, you could literally read this passage of Scripture like this. You could read it like this. Go on being filled with the Spirit. Go on being filled with the Spirit. In other words, it's a consistent state of being in the Christian life. The Christian is to be being filled all the time. I'm to be filled tonight. I'm to be filled in the morning. I'm to give God control. Now, what is being filled? It's giving God control. What is being filled is to have completeness where He gets every room. So I'm being filled. Lord, You stay in control today. That means when other things are out of control, I don't get out of control. I stay under the control of the Holy Spirit. It means that when temptation comes, I don't give it a room and let the Holy Spirit move out of that room of my life. And that's when I quench the Spirit or I grieve the Spirit. No, that's the Holy Spirit's room. I've told you many times, when temptation comes to knock on the door, let's send Jesus to answer it. If I answer temptation, I'm going to let Him in. But if Jesus answers, He's going to resist. Amen. So I'm to be being filled continually, continually, continually. This is what it is. It's a consistent life. You know, I think one of the things that grieves my heart the most is how up and down my Christian life can be. And I can go to church and hear a message or sing, and man, I can, boy, I'm on top. I get to the altar, man, Lord, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to spend time. And man, I just get filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, fill me. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. Then I get in the car and I drive home and I go home and I go to bed and I wake up in the morning like I got shot last night. Some of you wake up early in the morning singing and all. I don't do that. It's like a resurrection of the dead in the morning for me. I get up and I stumble to the coffee pot and I just told the Lord the night before, I'm going to pray every day. And then I sit there and sip my coffee and try to wake up, get the cobwebs out of my head. Before long, what was supposed to be meditation becomes meditation. You ever done that? You know, I was supposed to watch and pray and I just kind of said, Lord, give me rest, and I fell asleep. And I just get grieved that I'm up one day and down the next. And what solves that is if we believers would just be being filled. Lord, fill me with the Spirit all through the day. All through the day. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. I've got to go in this meeting. Let me go in Spirit filled. Lord, I'm coming home from work. I got to go into traffic. Let me be Spirit filled. Lord, I'm about to walk in the house and I'm tired. And my kids have probably had a bad day. Let me be Spirit-filled. Don't let me be in control. Lord, You be in control. Holy Spirit, control me now. The works of the flesh are anger. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Don't let me walk in the flesh. Let me walk in the Spirit. Let me be filled with the Spirit. Listen, we Christians got to be consistent in letting the Holy Spirit control and letting Him have completeness in every room. That's the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. That's an abundant life. That's, by the way, that's not just surviving, that's thriving if we'll live like that. Let's pray. Father, I thank You tonight for Your